Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Are you ready for two aging mid-level Hollywood celebrities who think a podcast is a good idea and who ask the eternal question to fill the hole in their soul? Did we do it? Here they are, Cage and Kevin!
Five, four, three, two.
I love how their things change, but that intro is gold. Never change that.
I mean,
that countdown.
It's a signature.
But isn't it Larry Sanders?
It's every pot. It's also being the Ricardos. It's everything.
Okay, wait.
It's always
a five. Being
four.
The Ricardos.
I did.
And?
I loved it.
You loved it.
I did.
Now, we were just talking about it in the family room.
Yeah.
Talking about what to watch.
With the
Ricardos and Lady Village. I live in a village of ladies.
Lady Village.
There's a place that I know that's a fun place to go. Lady Village. Lady Village. Had anyone seen any reviews of the... And then Cynthia said, reviews are bullshit.
Hmm.
And it really, I don't know, it got stuck in my craw. And I wanted to lash up, but I didn't want to start it up. You know, I didn't want to start up.
Well, reviews are bullshit if you're in something and they're bad. But they're fantastic if they're good.
I believe the good ones. I know.
Yeah,
but no, but I think it's an art form. I remember as a child, I would go and read Pauline Kael books movie reviews. And I thought, you know what? People study cinema and they're informed. And of course it's subjective. Of course it's an opinion, but that's part of the fun. I would rather read, like, you know, who's the best the New York Times has to offer.
Yeah, Anthony Lane in The New Yorker. He's great.
You know,
Michael Phillips, the Chicago Sun-Times, Charles McNulty, the theater critic for the LA Times.
Litany of classic.
Yeah, there's great reviewers in Variety, Hollywood Reporter.
Of course they're not right. All. I mean, nobody's right. It's completely subjective, but I just thought it was sort of a blanket.
It's kind of a, for me, the reviews are a guidepost. I love critical
thinking. It's a guidepost, and I can get an idea of what I might want to watch, and I can also discern. That's why I love Metacritic.
It gives you kind of a number.
Go down the line, like, you know how much I love bad reviews, too.
You do like to read the bad reviews.
I love a mean review. What's funnier? They're well written.
Speaking of bad reviews, welcome to Kyle and Kevin. Did we do it? I'm Kevin Wiseman. That's Kyle Gass. Actual Kyle Gass on Instagram.
I've changed it to Glass, by the way.
The actual Kyle Glass.
It's at www.kyleglass.
I'm at Kevin Wiseman. You can find us at _DidWeDoIt_ for all of your Did We Do It needs, Did We Do Iters.
No needs will be fulfilled.
Listen, happy holidays, Kyle. This is an evergreen moment.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
This is an our first and only evergreen moment.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It means that we are recording this the night before this episode drops. This is dropping.
Wait. This tomorrow. Is fresh out. Well, we could have just said it was. We could have
I just am excited that it's evergreen. We learned that early on in our podcast.
Could you please stop saying evergreen?
All right, I'll stop. So this is part two of a conversation we had with...
Chet Hayes.
No. That's not who that was.
I just flew in from Jamaica, man. Did you know he was from Jamaica?
I did not know that. No.
Apparently that's how he sounds.
He's adopted.
He's a rapper. Do you have any of his? Have you downloaded any of his music?
I haven't. No. No.
His music is dope, man.
I like Chet Baker, the great jazz.
Oh, Grandpa.
If we could have him on the podcast.
No, we had our great friend Colin Hanks. And we just kept talking for so long, Colin, give it up, that I guess we had to make it into two episodes.
We had to make it into, well, it wasn't just the conversation we had with him.
Because we're you not and I Joe talked, Rogan.
That's you and why. I talked for a while to start part one. That. And then we brought Kyle in and the conversation, Colin in, and the conversation was so great. We rolled it on to part two. And also we like to keep our episodes under an hour. Tight.
You're letting the people in on the process.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? We got a lot of great response on the first one, and I think people are going to like the second.
You know, we did. It doesn't bode well for my no guest strategy now. We're going to, how many more celebs do we know? I think we have like
quite a few. Let me check the board. Really?
Check your Rolodex.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. No, I've got Rolodex. One of those board with the cards on it. You know,
like you're working on your script.
Yeah. I move them around who we've got.
This scene, I think, would go great right after this scene. Although, Kevin, I have to say, you wrote a great scene. Kevin and I sometimes send each other a little improvisational message. Yeah. And what was today's? It was
my funeral. Yes, I was the rabbi. You eulogized me.
I did. I eulogized you on my, and then you returned the favor.
Right. The rabbi thanking you, but mispronouncing your
name. But apparently the rabbi was hired late. He didn't quite know.
Didn't really know all the people.
The
yes.
details.
And he didn't really know the history of our friendship or even the podcast. He mispronounced the podcast.
Oh, I know. It was.
Do we have it?
I think. Wait, hold on.
Let's take a listen.
It's Mick Jagger.
No, that's Mick Jagger.
Where were you last night? We saw Michelle and her daughter, Brenda, at the show.
I don't remember
that. We were looking for you, Kyle. You and Jack. Rick,
wow.
Wow, that's
Nick
great.
Was excited. I think that was when he was in town. He was looking for you to come to the backstage area.
Oh, that's weird. That's the other. That's your. Oh, I see. That's
yeah. Your... That's yeah. No, I sent you a voice memo. Uh-huh. I think uh-huh. I have.
I have it.
To play it? Got it.
Hello, everybody. Please find your seats. I know there's a lot of people here. Please, Kevin would love the turnout. We would appreciate all the friends and the family.
It doesn't even sound like he cares.
And those in the back, if you have your VIP wristbands, please show them to Jeff Maynard. Raise your hand. He's in charge of the VIP section.
Jeff Maynard, Cass. Yeah,
I'd like to thank Kyle Gass for a wonderful eulogy and song, and Tenacious D for playing. Kevin's favorite song.
Thanks, guys.
That's where we know
it. And wasn't he one of those? A wonder boy indeed.
I think we get the idea. Oh, man. If you want to hear more, subscribe to our Patreon. You're going to get the whole. How much is our Patreon, by the way?
We've yet to set it up, but I'm thinking.
I think it's $5 a year.
$5 a month. Well, a year.
No, it's a year. Yeah, that's where we.
It's a great deal.
That's like four. If you go the whole year. Yeah. If you go once a month.
We probably don't provide as much for your Patreon dollars as most people do, though. That's the caveat, as they say.
Oh, God, you get original content like Kevin's whole eulogy.
All of my voice memos that I send you will be on Patreon. Anyway, listen, happy holidays, everybody. Be safe. Watch out for the Omicron 5000. And enjoy this delicious talk with Colin Hanks. Anything else, Kyle?
I just want to thank Colin again for doing our show. Yeah.
He was great. You're going to enjoy this. All right, here it is. Peace.
Three. That's a magic number. Three. It is. It's the magic number. Three. Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community. Was born three, they stubborn me, and that's a magic number.
What does it all mean?
Difficult preaching is posthumous pleasure. Pleasure in preaching starts in the heart. Something that stimulates the music in a measure. Measure in the music, racing three parts.
Yeah, you know, I would see Colin over the years at various shows in the before times, although things are coming back. And I know you're a psycho fan of music. I mean,
yeah.
So now that you get to play guitar, are you jamming with anybody? Are you playing with anyone?
No, I'm not really. I haven't really been doing much of that. I mean, I played like in a band in high school and in college, but they were, you know, laughably horrible.
What was your band name? I love band names.
In high school. In high school, it was we were called Pontius Pilate.
Okay.
But I would like to preface this that I did not know who Pontius Pilate was at the time. I just thought it was a cool name.
Man.
Works on all levels.
And then in college, it was a band called The Underlords.
Oh, boy.
Not with a Z. It's very important.
That's dark.
There was no Z.
I've heard of Overlords.
The Underlords. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just turned it a little bit.
Yeah, because we're from the underground of Playa del Rey. Man,
I'm have to steal all of your stuff.
We was the underground of Playa del Rey.
My high school band name was Radical Faction, and that was something that we had read that in the paper that there's something in the UK there was a Radical Faction, and we thought that was a cool.
That's not too bad.
That's actually got a nice little kind of alliteration to it. I like it.
So you love music, and is that what you're from Sacramento?
Yes.
Right?
From Sacramento.
Was there a big music scene in Sacramento growing up?
There was a music scene growing up, being a child of the 90s.
What a great decade, though.
It was a great decade for music, for sure.
It really was.
So there was a pretty good music scene in Sacramento. I mean, Deftones are from Sacramento.
Oh,
so that's got to mean something, right?
Big band. Yeah, yeah, sure.
And they've had there were a couple of other bands that came out of Sacramento. Cake was from Sac.
We're going the distance.
Yes.
I didn't know Cake was from
Sac
town.
They were from the 916.
So is that what inspired the doc, All Things Must Pass, which is about Tower Records?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, growing up in Sacramento, you know, you knew that Tower was from there, that it was originally based there. And then after I left Sacramento and started like traveling around a lot, it was always a nice thing to be able to see a Tower Records and be like, oh, that's from my hometown. And yeah. I would always go into music shops anyways. You know, music shops or record stores, both.
But you still do, though. I feel like you're the record store guy.
Yeah, I still do. Yeah.
And it's made a comeback. Like when you made the movie, I feel like the record store wasn't as popular as it is now.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
We've circled back a little bit.
For sure. I mean, well, when I started the doc, it took me 7 years to make it.
Whoa.
Which was pretty insane. So
it's a labor of love.
It really was. So when I started, it was really bad. I mean, it had only, the stores had only shut down, like maybe they had only been closed for like two, three years. And it took basically like documentary films and Netflix and things like that to sort of make documentaries popular and more than just things that, you know, screen at a theater in New York and then a theater in LA. And then that's sort of it.
Are we in the golden age of docs?
I think so.
They've always been there.
No, because of the accessibility.
Yeah.
As Colin's saying, because you can go HBO Max, you can, you know, Hulu, whatever, all your streamings.
Totally.
I like nature documentaries.
Was that right?
I like the birds and the things. Birds and the bees and you know.
It calms Kyle down. He gets a lot of anxiety.
It gets me to sleep. I like
anything. So
his
anything
medicine.
With Attenborough narrating.
Sure. I actually watched that doc, the Attenborough doc, the world. God, it was depressing and inspiring at the same time.
He's had so many, though.
Earth. It's called Earth.
Do you remember, it's called Earth? The new one is called Earth? One that was called Planet Earth, I think. That was a few years ago. It's like, no, a few years ago. No, like there, 10 years ago.
No. There's one that he just did, and that is... Tell me about your dog.
It was like one of the very first nature programs to like be presented in high definition. And it was like a big deal.
Because Wild Kingdom?
It wasn't Wild Kingdom. But like the American version was narrated by Sigourney Weaver.
Oh.
And Attenborough had done the British version. And so we would watch the American version with Sigourney. And look, I love the Gorney. She's great. Gorns is top notch in my book.
Hell yeah.
And she had this one line where she was talking about essentially a wild donkey, but you can't call them a donkey. you have to call them by their proper names. And so there's this line, someone can find it, I'm sure, where it's just total silence. And then all of a sudden you just hear Sigourney say the words, "Wild ass."
Oh,
and I remember watching this. I burst out laughing. And then it was a whole segment about wild ass, like, you know, and essentially like mating rituals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the sequence, you know how they have like little sequences?
Yeah.
Ends with her saying the words, "Female ass is a strange creature."
Oh,
and it is just, man,
I'm sure we
so
can find
gold.
That. Carter, could you play that for us, please? Yeah.
Donkey. I am a donkey. What do I say? Bray, bray. I say it all day.
So the documentary I was referencing is called A Life on Our Planet. My research department just reached out to me. A Life on Our Planet.
Which is close to what you were saying, because technically you were just saying Earth.
When I say Earth, yeah. Which is, that's the but slang
it's
a, version.
It's, yes, life on our planet Earth.
Earth.
Yes, I just forgot that one part.
So you made the did you spend your own money? Did you raise money? How did you put that?
We raised some money. We raised some money on Kickstarter, and then we were able to raise.
Wow.
Yeah. We were sort of early adapters on that.
Yeah.
And that helped keep our movie alive for a few years. And so we sort of we did it like piecemeal. So, you know, raise some money, shoot some stuff, and be broke for a long time, and then raise a little bit more money and shoot some stuff. And then Kickstarter really sort of like kept us alive. And then based on a lot of the stuff that we shot with the Kickstarter funds, we were able to secure finishing funds to help us actually go to Japan for the end of the film and to edit the film. So
did you ever think about asking Kyle for some money?
I should have,
because he's very generous.
Oh man,
should I have.
And I have so much extra.
You have so much to give. Kyle, a giver.
Sushi is always buying sushi for everybody.
Maybe I did contribute on his Kickstarter.
Wait a minute. You are KG549. I saw that.
You're wild ass.
And that's the name of the episode, Wild Ass.
I love it.
It's a great documentary. If people haven't seen it, All Things Must Pass. And were you able to get the title, George Harrison? Did you have to go to the estate to say, hey, can we use this?
I did. Yes. In fact, I reached out to Olivia Harrison.
I thought you couldn't go titles. I thought titles were fair game.
Well, there is public domain. And I think there was you could make an argument. We could have made an argument to use it as a fair game only because it actually features prominently in the end of the movie, like the actual name of the song. Because it's one of the things that an employee put up on the signage when the store is closed. But that doesn't, you can only play like a few seconds of it. And we wanted to like have that be essentially the score for the last like 4 minutes of the movie. So I asked Olivia Harrison, who is an incredible woman. And I said, George's widow. And I said, I would like to name the movie after this song. There's a very specific reason why, as you'll see. And I sent her a cut of the movie and she loved it. And so she agreed to not only let us use the title and the song, but she gave it to us at like an incredibly
cheap
Robin
price.
Hood rate.
Yeah.
Well, I have some which good then news. Forced everybody to then pay that same thing. So based on that, we were able to get
the Beat Favorite
Boys,
Nations,
Rolling Stones, like like a ton of different artists. Yeah. And the music budget was one of the reasons why it took us so long to raise funds. Not because we had to raise the actual funds for the music budget, but no one wanted to touch us because they just said, you have to have amazing music and the music's going to cost too much.
Right. Because the documentary is essentially about the fact that, you know, brick and mortar stores are closing, Napster's moving in, and you want to highlight the music that you're referencing. But I was going to say, the good news is we have Miss Harrison here in the waiting room.
What? No way.
Calling, thank you. Put in George's. No.
I got nothing. All right, so it's like a recurring. Sunrise doesn't last all morning. A cloudburst doesn't last all day. Seems my love is up and has left you with no warning. It's not always gonna be.
Since I know your time is precious on
it's
this
not that precious.
It's not that. Already said he's not busy.
All right, I know. Well, you know. All right. Well, yeah, it's really
you
just
and your like, showbiz tropes.
Wow, Kyle, this is the point of the podcast where Kyle turns on me, by the way. There's always one moment of turning.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted because my brother is convinced that I have my mom's spare car key.
And?
That he wants me to FedEx
mail back, yeah. Do you have it?
That I don't have.
Tune in next week for next week's episode where we find out the mystery of Kyle's brother's query about their mother's car key.
All right. Listen, we're going to cut this out, but
yeah, we'll cut it out. But by the way, that is a great title for the episode. Car key.
You've had five great titles so far.
I think that is a brilliant runner just for every episode.
When did you get to the point where you felt comfortable? Jaded? No, well, or jaded. No, I mean,
tired of the whole thing.
Like you felt
tired of show business. Well, tired of the circus? What, and leave show business?
You know, like, was it on Mad Men? Was it Dexter? Where did you feel like, oh, I really can, I really figured out kind of, I feel comfortable. I'm not feeling insecure about anything.
That might have been like second week of Roswell. You don't know.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Orange County. I mean, obviously we're always kind of trying to figure it out in every job. But
just keep going through the resume and I'll tell you which one it was on.
I'm looking right now. I've got my people.
No.
Gene in 68?
It was about 20 pages into Gene in 68.
You were very good in that reading, by the way. Giovanni was great, but you were really good.
Giovanni was
absolutely. He's gone on to do well.
The one
thing I remember about Giovanni Ribisi that I've stolen from him in this reading, whenever he had the script and whenever he was speaking to someone in the reading, he would turn his whole body and look at them and talk to them. You know, when you're doing a reading, you kind of just read it. You kind of glance over at the actor.
You know what that is.
He's
the Scientology.
Scientology?
Yeah.
It's a body turn. It's a Scientologist's body turn.
Yeah. He was on the E-meters. And he was like, look at him.
I think he was driving a car, but, you know, that's just because Kyle put his two hands up. Like that's he was E-meter. Driving in a car. Oh, that's the, you know, it's the E-meter.
The E-meter. Well, I thought he was
very
really good.
Similar.
I was very impressed with this kid.
You don't want to know what I will say that the truth of the answer is that you never really know. And you're constantly questioning whether you are or not. And if you're not doing that, then I think something might be kind of wrong with you.
Right.
But I definitely feel lately, actually, you know, on impeachment.
Which was great, by the way.
And thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, this new thing I'm doing now.
Mike Emmerich, by the way, you played Mike Emmerich, a real guy.
Mike Emmerich, real dude.
Emmerich, what did I say?
Emmerich. You said Emmerich. Emmerich. Yeah.
My God, that's my guy. He's telling me in my ear. He said Emmerich.
You said Emmerich like the hockey announcer.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, we're not perfect, Kyle and I. We're not perfect.
No. None of us are.
Wait, so like when you were playing Mike Emmerich, who was a real guy, yes, who worked.
This is all a very long way of saying when I feel like I know exactly what the material calls for and it allows me to actually do the kind of stuff that I like to perform and is challenging to me. That's when I feel like, okay, I am okay enough to be able to do this. Like I feel like I'm like, yes, this is
you're
what
saying
I
it's the right. You're saying it's the writing.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, pretty much. But
the writing's
also,
there. It makes our job easier.
But also I'm really big on, trying to fill stuff, away from the writing, like in between, like with looks and little things. That's, I really love sort of doing all that stuff. And so when it's
the subtext, you reference.
Yeah. When it, when yes. it's, when it's jobs that allow for that, it's really great. But then also Life in Pieces was a, that was so much fucking fun because it was just us cracking jokes at a relentless pace.
And was really there any, that too. Yeah. My little cousin, he just messaged on the site. He's in college over at Wisconsin. What's up, Drew? He's listening. Drew Coben. He loved Life in Pieces. He and his college mates.
So here's the show. What
was there
I
any
noticed.
Improv? Was there any improv on that?
Kevin's family is very involved in my career. Kyle's well,
they're
family.
They're the only people
only
that cares
I haven't seen Life in Pieces.
Mom's I'm gonna put fucking it on car keys. Like
Diane Wiest, Kyle. You didn't see
points.
Diane Wiest.
Oh, I loved her. She was
points
great
to Kevs. Points to Kevs.
Yeah, they love
the
you.
Family love.
I love you.
There was. I'll tell you this. A majority of the majority of this stuff was written. The first season there was a lot of improv.
Yeah.
And then the second season. There was not a lot of improv. They cut back on the improv.
Really?
They said, maybe don't do so much improv.
Act, yeah, act on the lines.
We would always be able to like come up with stuff on the day.
Yeah. That and was, pitch it. You would pitch
really
it. And
say, yeah.
This is what we're going to do. Yeah. I worked with Mr. Billy Bob Thornton on Goliath. And we had quite a few scenes together. I played this whistleblower, you know, he in the first season, he's the attorney trying to crack this case of malfeasance.
Crack it wide open.
And he comes to me and I'm reluctant to testify. And he has to convince me in his kind of very laconic Billy Bob, you know, way. And I learned relaxation from this guy, man. I don't know how he does it. He is the most relaxed actor. And it probably induced one of my best performances, work, whatever you want to call it, just because he was so present. And it was just really kind of a breakthrough moment for me in just terms of like how to be present for the other actor and how that will really truly enhance your performance.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you feel that way on Fargo or?
Absolutely. No, I mean, he is the most even keel actor I've ever met.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of, it's really strange because you almost want to describe him as one gear because there's really no difference between the way he carries himself off screen and on in terms of like energy.
Yeah.
But yet there's something about when he is on camera and you're in the scene that his intensity,
it ratchets up,
but his actual like mannerisms and speed somehow still stays the same.
Yes. You know it's just in the eyes. The ratcheting is in the eyes.
He's just has this ability to really just turn it on in a way that is really sort of effortless.
Yeah.
And that's, and what is fascinating, and I'm sure he was probably like this on Goliath as well. He's not a dick. Like he's a nice guy, you know, he's very sweet. He's quiet. But he's a really nice guy. And we had a ball just talking, you know, telling stories back and forth.
And he loves music too. I'm sure.
Yeah. We talked a lot about music and stuff like that. And so, he was a cool.
Did you listen to his band at all?
No, I haven't actually listened to
his band. Why are you laughing, Kevin?
Cause I know you. And,
Because I know you.
What's the name of the band? I forget.
Billy Bob and the Crusaders. No,
I want to call it 30 Odd Foot of Grunt, but that's
that's Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe. Hold on, let me ask my guy.
30 Odd Feet of Grunt.
He did say to me,
it's not Dog Star. It's not Pontius Pilate. It's not the Underlords.
It's called Billy Bob Thornton and the Boxmasters.
The Boxmasters.
He did tell me this funny story, Colin, where not a funny story, but he told me a story kind of, you know, like in the vein of what you were saying. It was in between takes and we were shooting out in the valley. It was my character's house, little kind of mid-50s house. And we're looking at a really nice house, like one of those McMansions across the street that they built. And he's looking at me, he's smoking his cigarette. We're just kind of standing there. You know, Kevin, when I was growing up, man, we were real poor. And I would look at those houses like that and I always wonder, like, what's inside? What's inside those houses, you know? Man, I would always wonder. And then we always get paused, and I looked at him. I was like, well, now you know. He said, you're goddamn right I do. And that was it. I was like, fuck, I just had a great moment with Billy. I had a good moment with Billy. I had a good moment.
He's he's great. I love Billy Bob. He's a good guy.
So what is the thing you're working on now you were referencing?
The thing I'm working on now, I'm doing a mini series, I guess you could call it. It's one season, whatever those are called now.
Like Roots or...
Definitely not like Roots.
No, what I'm saying, what was the original? What was the other one?
The original miniseries?
Yeah.
Roots was, yeah, I think that Roots was the OG.
It's Roots too.
The other one, there was another big one too, but in the South. Something.
Rich Man, Poor Man, or North South with Pat Swayze and...
Pat Swayze.
Hey, remember that
Pat's,
one?
Pat, yeah. I remember. I made a movie with Pat
Lonesome
Swayze.
Dove. Lonesome
no one
Dove.
Called him Pat Swayze.
What was the movie you did with Pat Swayze?
11-14. Oh. Weren't you also in that?
I was not. I wish.
You weren't?
I was in Gene in 68. Did you see that? I know it never was made. 11-14. You must have been a kid, right? Or
yeah.
After, was it after
It was after Roswell. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it was actually just a couple of years. I think it was like 2001, 2002.
Give us one quick Pat story.
My people didn't tell me about that. There's going to be some heads that are going to roll about the,
In about my the opinion, roster. In my opinion, criminally underseen film. Overlooked. Underseen.
Wow. I mean, a good
whatever
movie.
It is.
All right.
Not anymore.
So
not
those did we? You're going to get at least podcast. 300 people that list that watch it now.
The I'll be happy if it's three.
11-14,
everybody. And that's the name of the episode, 11-14.
11-14. The thing I'm doing now is a 10-episode limited series.
Limited, yes.
Oh, there you
call
go.
Call a miniseries. Yeah.
Oh, God, that limited. Was a long journey to get
limited.
To that.
Limited.
A yeah. limited series about the making of The Godfather for Paramount
that's,
Plus.
That's
going to
be
on.
Who are you playing? Are you playing cool. Tom Hagen?
I play the one totally made-up guy. Oh. I'm totally made up. I'm totally fictional character. I play an amalgamation of everyone who did not want to make The Godfather. So I'm like, I'm the bad guy. I am the guy that tries to.
You're the evil studio exec that wants to put the kibosh on the guy.
Not even a studio exec. I'm the evil Gulf and Western money guy who wants to not make The Godfather.
Does it seem like you're getting more of those parts as you progress? You're getting
I get heavy.
Evil
with
heavy.
A smile, as Dexter Fletcher called it. He's like, I want you to play this role. You get to be evil with a smile.
Nice. So, right, and how's it go? Where are you guys in the process?
We are just now wrapping up our fourth block of shooting, two episodes per block, so we're about to finish. We have two
you have to have all to the you have to have like Marlon and all the guys.
Yeah. Oh they
it's, but wasn't Armie Hammer gonna play that
he Marlon? Was there was Arlen a Brando? Period where he, not Brando he was gonna oh. I think he was gonna be Pacino? Robert Evans
Kyle, you should have done the Brando. Let's hear a little of your Kyle's really good Brando.
It would have been good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. But yeah, I mean, they had to, there were a bunch of sequences where they had to like hire people to play like Pacino and Brando and all that stuff. It's crazy because like
they're more in the background, the actors. It's more about
no, they're in it. They're, no, okay. I mean, they're definitely in it. I mean, it's definitely behind the scenes. It's funny because so many, that movie is so incredible. And it's been really interesting because I tell people like, oh yeah, it's about the making of The Godfather. And everyone sort of like lights up. They go like, oh wow, that sounds course. Really cool.
It's my password question in my bank. Like, what's your favorite movie? Godfather.
And God, and which is the name of this episode.
Oh God, I got to change it. I got to change
the name
it.
Of
we're
going to
get break into my bank.
But what I think that is super interesting is that it actually shows like how many like hundreds of miracles it takes to make a movie.
Yeah.
And it's cool because like you know that they eventually shoot at this location because it's an iconic location, right?
Yeah.
But
the racetrack or whatever.
But but then it goes into the nightmare it was to secure that location. Wow. And like all the leaps and bounds and hoops that you got to go through in order to do all that stuff. And there's
do they show the casting? Sorry to interrupt.
They showed the casting and who they wanted to cast, and you know, them not wanting to cast Brando and,
or Pacino, really.
Yeah. Or Pacino. And
they didn't want to cast Brando.
No, they didn't want to cast either one of those two.
And that's not do they do the scene, the legendary story where Coppola goes to the house and he puts the cotton balls in the slick and he comes down the stairs?
Yeah. He makes basically like a home movie of The Godfather of Brando sort of pitching his idea.
So cool.
So it's,
and do they also reference the fact that it was really dark? I remember reading that too.
Like, yes.
The Russians come back and they're like, it's so dark, we can't see this.
Oh, yeah. It's all of that stuff. Dark. Like, apparently, all the conversations about like that first scene was about how dark it was and how the only thing you could hear in everyone's microphone was the cat that Brando insisted on holding.
Oh my God.
It's this collection of all of these really like small stories like that. But then, you know, there's this whole other history to how that thing got made that no one really knows about that all involve like actual mobsters and politics and all sorts of stuff.
So mobster financed or cool. Is that what you
not mean? Financed? No, not financed, but just the, you know, there were so many people that did not want that thing to be made. Frank Sinatra, chief among them.
Whoa.
And quite a few of a lot of the mobsters didn't want to, because everyone just assumed that it was going to be this thing that was going to be, you know,
expose.
Super, just not paint Italians in a good light, and just be, you know, a mobster movie.
They didn't like the use of the word mafia, right?
Yeah. And they just thought that it was just going to be, you know, just bad. You know, the thing that I think is actually kind of cool that the limited series gets into is that, you know, they went in very specifically trying to not make a mafia movie. And, you know, I mean, everybody knows how the movie came out, obviously, but it's kind of fascinating to see how many people were up in arms about it before they'd even seen it and just how big, you know, of an issue it was. So,
and he was almost, Coppola was fired, like actually physically fired. And then, right. Like in one day, and then, or there was about to be fired. I mean, there was,
it was like he was hired and then he wasn't hired. And just like all of those kinds of things. It's crazy.
A lot of people are going to be watching that one.
I hope so.
And then who ended up playing Bob Evans, and are they still looking? Because I can do a little
Matthew Good is Matthew Good. Bob Evans.
He's a great actor.
He is so great.
Yeah, he's really good. He's English. So good. English actor. Oh, he was in Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey.
Lady Mary's new squeeze.
Mr. Pamuk. No, I have no idea.
Not Mr. Pamuk.
He wasn't Mr. Pamuk. He was not
Lady
Mr.
Mary.
Pamuk.
Lady Mary. He's a photographer.
Suitor.
He's the photographer. Yeah. He's like the cool photographer of the time.
I keep threatening Matthew, telling him that I just want to play him Bob Odenkirk playing God from Mr. Show, which is basically his imitation of Robert Evans.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that? It's like, did I do the right thing?
Not in your life.
Would I do it again? In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Was it the wrong thing to do? Abso-fucking-lutely. I just keep wanting to like show him horrible Robert Evans imitations.
I wonder if he read that the book about the making of Chinatown that I just listened to the audiobook. Kyle and I talked about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really good. And it basically highlights Nicholson, Evans, and Town, their three stories, and how the movie came to be, you know, the best script in the history of movie making, basically.
I'm going to pitch that as the next limited series for Paramount Plus just as soon as I finish The Godfather.
You should. Listen, I will.
There's play. Actually. Listen. A, there's
all
actually
right,
a scene.
I'll play Jack. Listen, there's tell him send this tape over, Colin, of me doing.
There's a scene all about, you know, them trying to like come up with what are they going to make after The Godfather, and Robert Evans pitches Chinatown.
Yeah,
and everyone goes, "It's a movie about water." No, next.
It's about basically. I mean, how the it's water wars. Yeah,
it's water. In Los Angeles.
And it doesn't even, and that, the other thing was, is that it's
dig
like, it doesn't even take place the only time we see Chinatown is in the last frame of the movie. The forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown. It's not even a movie about Chinatown.
No, it's not.
We never see Chinatown.
And forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown. Makes zero sense.
Makes zero sense. And by the way, the Faye Dunaway's house is on Bronson, like close to me. I don't want to say where I live for all the psycho did we do it fans. But it's very close. Yeah.
It could have very well just ended like, forget it, Jake. It's Playa del Rey. Like that's just where they just happened to be.
How about forget it, Jake? It's Encino.
Forget it, Jake. It's Cheviot Hills.
Where does that come out?
April on the Paramount Plus streaming platform.
Oh, no. I have to have another password now?
Yeah.
Dude, Paramount Plus is all the rage because you got the Kevin Costner show. That's a big show.
It was not on Paramount Plus.
Oh, sorry.
That's a whole other podcast.
Wait, what? About Yellowstone?
Yeah,
On Peacock. That's a whole thing.
Wasn't it originally on Paramount Plus?
Yeah, it's made by Paramount. It's their show, but it's not on Paramount Plus. Peacock before they had Paramount.
Can't
Plus
they just put it all on like Apple or something?
I've already fallen asleep because it's so boring.
Well, listen,
not Yellowstone. I want to be very clear.
Just the podcast.
No, and not the podcast. Not the podcast. I'm just talking
me
about
or Kyle.
Just the reasons why Yellowstone is not on Paramount Plus, but it was.
But I feel like Peacock.
The
is
rights
free,
were sold
though.
To Peacock, and now you gotta watch Peacock for free. But it still has ads. So is it free? No, because you're still ads, stuck watching still all the commercials.
All right, listen.
Fall asleep.
Unfortunately, I won't be watching the Godfather movie. I don't want another. No, I'll.
Can I get it? 2 weeks?
It's free. You get it for a month. Can I get for 2 weeks? For,
yeah.
Dude, guys, I'll give you my password.
Wait a minute. Did we do it? You heard it.
I think that's
first.
An FBI.
Colin will give everybody his password. How many people can watch it, though, before it shuts down?
I say seven.
that's your number. And I think Netflix was trying to shut that down. Like there was
we'll
a thing
refer to them as the Magnificent Seven.
Oh, man. Who plays Coppola? What's the actor's name? Is he like a little?
I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know who plays Coppola. I didn't work that day.
Right.
No, this is honestly, there are so many people in the show that I have lost track of who's everyone who is in it.
The wardrobe fitting must have been fun though, putting on all the old clothes.
Yeah, Giovanni Ribisi is in it. Miles Teller is in it.
Gio, is he doing the special acting? He's been doing some special acting.
He gained a lot of weight. He gained like 40 pounds.
For the role or just in general?
For the role, yeah.
Who's he playing?
He's playing Joe Colombo. He's playing a mobster. He's fucking awesome. He's incredible.
He's a good actor. But yeah. God, it's hard to get the weight off.
Have you had to do that? Have you put on like or lost weight for a role?
No. Well, yeah. Okay. Actually, all right. One last story, guys.
Yes. Hello. Didn't you see King Kong?
One last story. That was where I gained it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I spent so much time eating and drinking like a hobbit down in New Zealand.
You were a young guy. Hey, I was young.
I was young. I had high metabolism. So I said, and I came back to LA and I was definitely on the tubbier side. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I was doing a small, very, very, very micro budgety movie. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. I'm going to just keep all of this like pudgy weight on. And, you know, and it's for the role. Like that was my thinking. Mm. And one day my dad said, hey, when you have time, I want to talk to you about something. And it was very awkward for him to say that because he never does anything like that. So I honestly thought I was like, oh, my God, I'm almost 30. Is my dad like going to yell at me for something? Like, I'm a fucking adult, but am I about to get in trouble?
Yeah.
And he goes, look, I want to talk to you. And, you know, you can take this advice or not, but you're looking kind of tubby. You need to lose some weight.
Wow.
Cause it's
fat
not gonna,
shame much.
It's not going to help with your work, with your roles. And he said straight up, he's like, I'm only saying that because that's what his experience was. Right. Yeah. He's like, that's what my experience
was
when I was younger.
When he was younger. Yeah.
And I said, okay. Yeah. I know. Trust me, I know, but you know, I'm actually doing this, you know,
it's movie. It's for a role, Dad.
It's for a role. Yeah. It's fine, you know. And then, you know, I know I gotta, I gotta drop some LBs. And he said, okay, question. Do they see you skinny in that movie? Or are you just like this weight the whole movie? And I said,
good question.
And wow. I said, no, wow. I'm this weight the whole movie. He says, okay, no one's going to notice and no one's going to care. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, it's like the guy from Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Amazingly talented actor, gained weight to play Pyle. It's Vincent D'Onofrio. The guy's a genius,
Vincent,
right?
Yeah. He was very heavy in that. Yeah.
He gained all this weight for it. And then the movie comes out and people just thought he was a fat guy.
And he's like,
they only applaud you for losing weight. They don't applaud you for gaining weight.
Wow.
And if they don't see you skinny, they're just going to call you fat.
Wow.
Or in my case, tubby. And true to form, it was not a great movie. But it was not seen by a lot of people. But there was the one review.
Until now. What's the movie?
The movie was called Password.
Password.
No, okay. I'm kidding. It was not called Password. It was called. I just wanted that to be the new password for Kyle's Paramount Plus.
Thank you.
Password is password.
No, it was called Alone with Her. We were trying to do something different. I don't know if it really worked or not. It's not for me to judge. But there was one review. And that I remember reading, and it was Colin Hanks looking a little tubby.
Oh,
plays Doug, and I just went.
Doug was supposed to be tubby.
Motherfucker, Doug was right.
Right, because you weren't playing a guy that was a historical figure that people knew was heavier. It was just a guy named Doug. So
it was just a psychopath named Doug.
Yeah, so he didn't necessarily have to be one way or the other. Does your dad, did you, over the years, was your dad reluctant to give you any other acting advice, or was that the only advice was don't?
That was the only one that he like gave like straight directly. Up without telling me. Like, well, without like, you know, being asked like, hey, do you have any,
you know. He gave you like Karate Kid, like wax on, sort of like.
You see, now and again, he'll give me some advice or I'll ask for it just in terms of like how to stay sane.
Yeah. And what does he say?
I'm not fucking telling you. Not on this one. You're fine. You're good. You're sane.
I feel all right. Well, Kyle makes me a little crazy.
I mean, both of your guys' beards indicate that you guys totally got it together.
It's a podcast. We've lost that. I know, dude.
For those using their mind eyes at home. Kyle and Kevin Kyle has a Santa tremendous Claus. Beards.
It is a little. I think I have my light on too bright too. So it's really highlighting my beard.
Tremendous beards.
I have a special light in case we're not going to use any video anyway, though. It's just mainly for you guys.
Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can.
This is a fantastic time hang with
this
you.
This was a great hang.
Kyle, do you have any parting words for our young actor who just turned 44?
Well, we've learned a lot through the Collins interview inside the actor studio. I'd like to end with the famous what's the test?
Bernard Pivot.
What's your Bernard favorite Pivot? Curse word, Colin?
My favorite curse word is cocksucker.
If heaven is a place,
what do you want them to say?
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear as you walk through the pearly gates? Hey, got a light?
Hey! And then what is the sound you like most? I think that would be the last one. And
what's the song that you like the most?
Sound.
Music!
Right.
Yeah. I dig music.
In the end of the day,
Kyle's film, Almost Famous. Check it out. He's in the DVD.
Yes.
I thought it was
the bootleg cut.
Oh, the bootleg
cut.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Almost Famous. You didn't make it into the. Would you make it in the director's cut or just?
Yeah.
Yeah, finally.
I see, can I tell, this is just for us now. This doesn't have to be on the podcast, or maybe it can be. Right. I remember I love that movie and I bought the bootleg cut. And when I put the DVD in my DVD player, it did this weird thing where it just started playing not the movie, but like some of the deleted
scenes,
extras. Yeah. Extras. It just started playing extras.
Yeah.
And the first thing I see
the rehearsal scene.
Is Kyle rehearsing, and it's just Kyle smoking a joint. And I'm like, this is not. Did I leave something in the DVD? Like, I honestly thought like it was something that I had put like that I that was mine. I didn't even put together like that I had. Had put the DVD in the tray and pressed play. It was this very weird moment of just like, where is the movie? And then within a few seconds, Jason Lee's there. And I'm like, oh, okay. They're rehearsing. I see.
Yeah. And here I have one other bone of last bit of contention, and then we're going to jet out of here. I can't believe Colin was in Pick a Destiny. And again, I fucking wasn't.
Oh,
that's a bone of contention for me.
I wish
I was in it, but you made it in, dude. You were great. You were good.
Bone of contention is also the name of this episode.
Bone of contention. You were great as the frat guy and everything.
Still one of the best jokes in that movie is Kyle singing that song by himself. What song was it?
History. I just sang my part.
It was just your part. That's right. I remember laughing so fucking hard at that. Being a super fan, as I've always been a super fan.
Yeah.
The idea of like hearing that song that I've heard a million times, but only hearing one side of it is, oh God, that was the perfect joke.
Well, haven't you heard Kyle's Instagram? He sings all the songs, just him.
Dems and Rasta confused. Him no know what you do. Dems and Selassie is lost. But only Jaja have the last laugh yet. So Rasta don't get foolish.
Deleted it at all. You deleted it all.
Yeah. I deleted it.
Whoa. You deleted it.
It's crazy because like in some ways
I don't know about shit.
Like honestly, like there's a ton of shit I don't know about. Like people say something and I'm like, wait, what the fuck is that? They're like, oh my God, have you not heard? And I'm like, no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know about COVID?
Island boys.
But at the same time, I'm totally okay with that because it turns out all that shit just eats up bandwidth that, quite frankly, I don't have much of.
Yeah.
You know, I need for other shit. So,
and you don't need it for your you know, this whole thing about like, man,
you don't need it.
No, you don't. Well, I'm saying, but like people that are starting out and you hear these horror stories of like casting directors asking them, I mean, it doesn't apply to us, but like some young kid, like, oh, how many Instagram followers do you have? I'm like, is that really contingent on them getting a fucking job?
I'll be honest though. Yes. It is.
You've had that.
That is the fucked up thing. There was stuff. We came up with this a lot. Came up against this a lot on Life in Pieces, where they would be like, "We need to have guest stars. We need to have guest stars." And it's like, guys, you already have like a cast of 12 actors. Like,
yeah, great actors. Yeah.
What guest star are you going to get that is going to get more people to tune in?
Yeah.
And they were like,
Justin Bieber.
And then it turned out they ended up going to like YouTube people.
Right.
And that helped. I don't know. Maybe it didn't help because the show got canceled eventually, but like
it boosted the numbers.
It did come down to these people have big YouTube followers or Instagram followers, or that actress has a bunch of Instagram followers and they'd like make us post and
I remember you were very active with the posting during that show, but I know it's because you wanted people to watch it.
Yeah, because I wanted people to watch the show.
And that's valid.
And so what I was not prepared for was after starting the kerchief thing is realizing just how dependent the company actually is on.
Yeah, no one's going to a website anymore. They're going to the Instagram.
And that's kind of
www.
When you realize it, literally Facebook is like the only way for your company to exist.
Listen, I appreciate everything you're saying and I applaud you, but if you could just post about this episode,
you could start a new account.
Just a minute. One episode, just one last, last circle back.
I'll do it.
In your story. It's not a big deal. The story.
And if you could just create a TikTok, that would be great. Anyone over 30 should not have a TikTok or be on TikTok or look at TikTok.
Yeah, but like Anthony Hopkins is on TikTok. You know what I mean? The great Anthony.
Well, you're always going to find an example
or an exception.
Yeah. Well, but like, you know, sometimes that exception is like, well, George Takei's on TikTok.
George
Takei's got a company that does that for him.
Right.
Sulu ain't engaging on TikTok.
I think Matthew McConaughey has a TikTok, especially if he was going to run for governor, he'd be TikToking.
He does. He's got a TikTok. Did you read his book, by the way?
No. Good.
Don't read his book. Listen to the
audiobook.
It's fucking delightful.
Yeah, I actually do enjoy listening to him speak. McConkey.
Oh, yeah, McConkey.
I really liked the Cal Penn audiobook, by the way. You Can't Be Serious. You Can't Be Serious. Yeah, it talks about kind of his path in acting and then politics. You know, he worked for Obama and also the kind of systemic racism in Hollywood.
I hear Colin playing us out, Kev. I hear Colin playing us out.
That's it. We did it.
We did
Give us
it.
A last. Give Colin, us a, give thank us a play you. Out.
So. It was a pleasure, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Colin Hanks.
Colin Hanks.
Thank you, Kyle Gass. Thank you to the Did We Do Iters. And we'll see you next time.
Can't find the chord to end it on. Cage left, anyways. Cage left.
He just bent. That's what he does. Just
peaced out. This was so much fun, man. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for coming to
Did We Do It? Did We Do It? Kyle and Kevin gonna shoot the shit. Put something down, did we do it? Kevin and Cage coming your way. That's what they always do.
Good night, everybody.
Please like and subscribe. Please like and subscribe. It will really help me.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.